It's The Record from KUOW. With Ross Reynolds, I'm Marcy Silman. Ed Catmull is the founder of Pixar Animation Studios. Today, he's president of Pixar and Disney Animation. Along with people like Steve Jobs, Catmull spearheaded the rise in computer-animated films in this country.
Pixar movies like Finding Nemo and Ratatouille have been wildly successful with kids and adults. How did they pull that off with such consistency? That is the subject of Ed Catmull's new book on how to manage creative people. It's called Creativity, Inc., Overcoming the Unseen Forces That Stand in the Way of True Inspiration. He spoke with KUOW's David Hyde.
So everybody's heard of the movie Toy Story, pretty much. It's this huge success for Pixar. It's their first really big successful movie back in the mid-1990s. And that franchise has gone on to earn Pixar billions of dollars. And part of the thing that made that first movie so great was this hilarious rivalry between Buzz Lightyear, who's a toy, but he thinks he's a real space hero, and Woody, who knows that he's just a toy cowboy.
You are a toy! You weren't the real Buzz Lightyear. You're an action figure. You are a child's plaything.
You are a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity.
Ed Catmull told me that part of the secret to their success in putting together this movie was putting together a group of really smart and creative people who became really good at solving problems.
The Brain Trust. It was formed accidentally. The first five people working on Toy Story worked remarkably well together. They were focused. They were funny. They were intense. And when they disagreed, the intensity of their discussions was always focused on the problem and was never personal. It was so successful that we kept the model of the Brain Trust going forward. But as we added people to it and we tried to emulate the model in other areas, like in our technical areas, we find there are times where we didn't quite know what's going on, or in the technical areas it didn't work the same. So we, since we're a very introspective group, we try to think about what was it that made the Brain Trust work so well. And there were several factors there. One of them was that nobody in the group had authority over the director. That is, we removed the power from the group. They had no right to tell them what to do. And what this did was to enable the director to listen. They weren't coming in from a defensive posture, believing the group could overturn them. But then we saw other problems that were arising. And if you think about it, if you put a lot of smart people together, and you could call it a brain trust, but it's just a group of smart people. In fact, there are some emotional and personal subconscious issues that come to bear. Like, you don't want to embarrass yourself. You don't want to embarrass somebody else. You might want to look good. You might not want to look bad in front of somebody that you perceive as very powerful. So there are all these psychological things that can go on. So our job was to address the personal dynamics of the group so the group could be focused on the problem and not these other subconscious issues. And I would have to say that over the years, this group, which has changed and grown as new people have come in and we've gained more experience, that almost always it works very well. Sometimes it falls apart and doesn't work at all. And every once in a while, magic happens. But our goal is to set up the environment where the people are going to be honest and candid with each other. So we think of it as strategies. How do we make it so that people tell each other what they really think and don't let other things get in the way?
Ed Catmull is the co-founder of Pixar Animation Studios. That means he's responsible in part for a lot of great movies like Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Ratatouille, and he's also an expert on how to manage creative people, which is what we're talking about today. That's the subject of his new book. It's called Creativity, Inc., and you're talking about candor, and I'm wondering, it's great. It's great to think about candor being an important part of a workplace, but it doesn't always happen. How do you foster that? How do you foster a spirit of honesty, and what do you mean by candor?
Well, if you were to say to any group that you should be honest with each other, it is so clearly true that it has no effect. Because the opposite of being honest is being dishonest. And the reason I use the word candor is that it's a little less loaded So it's easier to talk about why people might not be candid. So if you go into any group, there are people who may not say what they think because the boss is in the room, or they don't want to look stupid or like they haven't prepared. They certainly don't want to surprise the boss. So all of these are elements that get in the way of people talking about the problem. So the issue of candor is, how do we make it safer for people to talk? And, you know, it sounds good to say we're going to make it safe, but the fact is most people are apprehensive about it. And a lot of managers subconsciously give clues to people, or the body cues, that I don't want you to surprise me. I don't want to miss the deadline. We can't miss the budget. So you add up all these things, and what you find are barriers to speaking the truth. And if you let this continue, and a lot of groups do, then the group can continue its merry way, but it's actually marching along in oblivion, and yet everybody knows that there's a problem. And if we all know there's a problem, then our question is, how do we get those individual opinions out so that we can hear them?
So how do you create that environment where there's trust and candor?
Well, a big part of it has to do with mistakes and failure, and making it safe to make mistakes, or safe and even desirable to fail sometimes. Now, as you probably know, the notion of learning by failure is fairly popular nowadays. That is, a lot of people are aware that, in fact, that is the way we learn. Is we learn something and we make mistakes and we fail and we grow from it. But knowing that's true at an intellectual level gets in the way of a deep problem. And that is, there's another meaning of failure, and it comes from two sources. One of them is the one we learned when we were in elementary school, or in high school. So if you didn't prepare, or if you were dumb, or you screwed around, and then you failed a class, and that was a failure. And that meaning of failure is deeply embedded inside of us. But there's another part of that, of the negative meaning of failure, and that is, if you just read the newspapers every day, then if a politician or if a businessman makes a mistake or has a failure, then there are always people out there who are waiting for that mistake to happen to bludgeon their opponents. So there's an actual aura and feeling of danger that comes along with failure. So we've got inside of us this negative meaning of failure, and then we've got this intellectually positive one. So we've got the conflation of the two, and the result is many people then think of failure as a necessary evil in order to make some progress. And what I wanted to do is to have people reframe it, because failure isn't a necessary evil. It's actually a necessary consequence of doing something new.
Bring that point home for us, if you can, by talking about some of the great movies that you've made. Where's an example where you could say, here was a failure, and that's how we learned from it, and that's how we moved on as a company and got to this point of trust and candor?
Okay, so I've got a real fun one, which has to do with the movie Up, although there are similar stories on almost all of our movies. And the first thing to note, and starting this little anecdote here, is that when we first start to make our movies, they all suck. And I don't mean this in the sense that I'm being self-deprecating or modest about it. I'm meaning it in the sense that they really suck. They just don't work. And our job then is to figure out how to make them work. So a good example is the movie Up. It's one of my favorite movies. And in the first version, we have a castle that's floating in the sky, and the people in the castle are at war with the people on the ground. And there's a king in the castle who has two sons who hate each other. And they accidentally end up down on the ground, wandering around in enemy territory. And in their wanderings, they come across a large bird. Well, this version didn't work. The final movie bore no resemblance whatsoever to the original film, and it's part of this tortuous path. And if we had known what that final path was, well, we would have gone there to begin with. But we didn't know because it didn't work to begin with.
Just to wrap it up, what's the most important takeaway for you in the book that you want people to take away about how to foster a creative environment in the workplace?
For me, the most important issue is to address continually the issue of the safety to make mistakes. The people are afraid of mistakes, and this kind of fear is there all the time. And the trick to realize is that the things that can go wrong, the things that are hidden, are always there. And therefore, we always have to pay attention. We need to be introspective, not all the time, but occasionally introspective to look about what's working, what's not working, how we apply it, and then look outwards. But if we do that, then we can take people and make them better at everything they do.
Ed Catmull is co-founder of Pixar Animation Studios. He spoke with David Hyatt about his new book. It's called Creativity, Inc. Listen to that interview on the record here on KUOW.